Good morning. It's good to see everybody this morning. Now, I've been asked a couple of times this morning about my sweater. This is the first week of preparing for Christmas. And as we kind of was thinking about getting ready for Christmas, one of the things that I realized, I was at Walmart. And if you've ever been to Walmart at this time of the year, people were just ugly. I mean, not in looking at them, but in behavior. And you could even tell some of them would just, you know, it looked like they were trying to turn their face inside out. And so I got this concept or this idea that everything this Christmas seems to be ugly, and I want to turn it positive. So I'm going to wear ugly Christmas sweaters every Sunday, okay? My son is helping me make sure that I can kind of get there. He actually bought me this sweater. So in the concept that we have is to turn something ugly into something wonderful. And so we're kind of on that trek this Christmas series, this Advent season, and we'll be kind of walking through that as things go ahead. So this is my first attempt at an ugly sweater. You can decide whether it is or isn't. Now, just to kind of keep us all on the same page, we're still not passing the offering plate. There are offering boxes in the vestibule out there. Feel free to then give your tithes and your offerings into those boxes. This is the whole wrong everything. Well, wonderful. We just want to ask you to... I got to get my schedule in my head because I was going to read it off of here and it's just not good. Okay, Mountain Vision gifts are due back today. So if you took a tag off of the Mountain Vision tree, those gifts need to be brought in today. If for some reason you have forgotten, just see me. We'll make arrangements. It's okay. But if we don't hear from you, we will track you down. Because we'll need to get those. And those gifts will be going to Valley Head on December 17th and 18th. John Wood is from Mount Vision and kind of coordinating for that trip. If you'd like to go with the folks down to help out with that, we do a meal, we give out the Christmas gifts and all of that. See John, and we'll get that put together and coordinated as well. Outside, you've probably noticed there are some buildings that have been put up as we're preparing for the live nativity. Now, let me kind of just share a little bit about how the live nativity works. In order for it to be live, we need people. And what that means is we have a whole bunch of costumes upstairs, and we can become shepherds and angels and Mary and Joseph and the three kings, and then there's townspeople, and then there are individuals to ride herd on children. We herd them. No, I'm just kidding. But the kids are more than welcome to come as well and be part of that. There is, we'll have soup and cookies and all kinds of good stuff in the fellowship hall, and people kind of trade back and forth to kind of make the live nativity work. And we'll be out front and making that happen, but we really need you. We need people to help us out with that on both Friday and Saturday evening. So if you are available, if you can get here to the church about 5:30 so that we can get you set up in a costume so that you look like a shepherd or a king or Mary and Joseph or an angel. Angels have wings and everything. It's the coolest. And so we need everybody to help us out with that to make that work. Kind of our gift to the community of the real reason for this season of Christmas. And so there will be cookies and some soup, hot chocolate, coffee, all that good stuff. We still need some candy canes too. Red and white candy canes work the best. We give them out to people that come through. And so if you have some of that to donate as well. Okay. Christmas Eve, we're going to have our kids kind of present the Christmas story on Christmas Eve, and they're going to have some practice for that starting next Sunday at 9:45. They're going to be up in the fellowship hall, at least for the first round, and kind of getting that put together. So we'll ask you to be here for that. And then on Wednesday evening, December 22nd, we're going to have the final kids program, and it'll be from 5 to 8. Did you hear that, parents? 5 to 8, your children have to be here getting ready for the Christmas pageant. We don't need you. If you get my drift. And so you're going to want to have your kids involved with that. Okay, so that's there. Then, on a different vein, we every year have a business meeting, and our business meeting this year will be on December the 12th. It will be right after the worship service. We will have a regular worship service. Then at the end of that, we'll kind of give a little five-minute interlude, and then we'll have our business meeting. At that business meeting, we present the budget for the following year, and we elect people for council. In your bulletins today, there's a copy of that budget and a copy of those individuals that are looking at various offices within the church. I would ask that you just make that a point of prayer in the days and weeks to come, and then on December 12th, following the worship service, we'll be voting on that. In order to vote, you need to be a member of the congregation, but kind of sets the stage for the following year, and so please keep that in mind as well. And then the last Sunday in December, which is the day after Christmas, December 26th, we do a celebration Sunday. And basically what we mean by that is we just want to celebrate that day. And so there's a lot of special music and that's part of that service and a lot of joy. And it's just a great time to be together. John Nixon puts that service together. So if you would like to sing, or if your kids would like to sing or play an instrument or the piano or whatever, talk with John and we'll put that service together. We have a children's bell choir and sometimes they play and there'll be different things going on. But it's kind of a celebration of all the things that God is doing, and we just gather for that. And so that's a great opportunity as well. Now, one last announcement. We have had a wonderful tradition here at the church of having a choir. Now, last year, with the pandemic and all of that, the choir kind of had to be set aside. So we're wanting to find out if we have enough singers to have a choir again. So on Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock here at the church, we're going to attempt to get a choir together. Now, if we don't have enough for a choir, we're going to be getting together an ensemble. If we don't have enough for an ensemble, we're going to be gathering together and y'all are going to have to listen to John Nixon and Pastor Arnie sing. You do not want that to happen. So if you're interested in being part of that, you just love to sing, there are not tryouts. We just want to gather a group together that loves to sing, and that'll be on Wednesday evening this week to kind of see and kind of get some direction. So if you're interested in that, would invite you to come and be part of that. Okay, now I have a couple of prayer requests. There are those in the bulletin. We're also asking for prayer for Dorothy Slater. Dorothy Slater was taken to the hospital, and she's at Worcester Hospital. She doesn't have COVID. She doesn't have pneumonia, but she's got both the A and B strains of the flu. So it's pretty serious, but keep her in prayer. She's confused and just a lot of things going on. Dorothy's about 94 years old, so keep her in your prayers. And then a friend of Kay Vance, her name is Jane Carpenter, had some heart surgery, not bypass, but some heart surgery, and now she has a blood clot in her leg, and they're very, very painful. And so she's from Marietta, Ohio, but keep Jane Carpenter in your prayers. And we've also been asked to pray for Bob Donaldson. Bob Donaldson's having some heart problems. What do they call that? AFib. And so he goes to see the doctor tomorrow to decide just what they're going to do. But keep Bob Donaldson in your prayers as well. That was a lot. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, you are a great and gracious God, a God that meets us where we are, that comes and stands beside us. And sometimes, Lord, we just need to crawl up on your lap. We need to be held by you because of the times in which we live and of the struggles and the difficulties of life that have come our way. Lord, we just ask that you would come and cradle us in your arms and give us the hope that comes from knowing you, that knowing that our time upon this planet is marked, it's numbered, but eternity is with you. And so, Lord, it's with great hope that we enter into this time of preparation for the celebration of coming of Jesus Christ. Lord, hear our hearts as we cry out. We ask that you would be with each name in each situation. We ask, Lord, that you would be with the various events and the things that are going on, that the world would see the difference that you have made in us and be drawn to you. Come and walk with us, because we want to be the people that make a difference. We want to be used by you. Open our hearts up to you, that you might be praised and glorified. And Lord, that in that changing, as we draw closer to you, that the world would see that difference that you've made in us. Come and walk with your people. Watch over us, Lord. In all these things, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. At this time, we're going to light the Advent candle. And my lovely wife and son are going to come do that.
Check, check. Good morning. For unto us a Savior is born. For unto us a child is born. To us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. This morning, as we light the first candle, the candle of hope that Jesus brings, the people of Israel had experienced years of oppression and slavery, hoping to someday be free of their suffering. Jesus Christ was their hope realized. The hope of Israel and our hope today has always been Jesus Christ. It is one and the same hope. It is an assured hope, for the earthly appearance of Jesus is not the result of a creation of a new being, for Jesus is God. Therefore, he has always been with us. Our hope is assured because the existence of Christ, the bearer of our hope, was never in question. Jesus Christ is the one who was, who is, and who evermore shall be, and therefore our Christian hope is secure, and always has been secure, since even before the beginning of time. Let's pray. Lord God, help us to never lose heart. From before time, you have ordained all the days of our lives. You hold us in your presence, both in times of joy and in times of suffering. We ask that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you encourage us in steadfast reliance of our hope in you. Amen.
Good morning. Would you please stand and join me in singing a couple of songs? We'll start with Come, Thou Long Expected Jesus.
Thy people free from our
find our rest in thee. His ground strength and consolation, hope of all the earth thou art, dear desire of every nation, joy of every longing heart. Mourn thy people to deliver, born a child and yet a king, born to reign in us forever, now thy gracious kingdom bring. By thine own eternal Spirit, rule in all our hearts alone. By thine all-sufficient merit, raise us to thy glorious throne. And now join me in O Come, Emmanuel. Ransom captive Israel, that mourns in lonely exile here, until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice, shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, thou day spring, come and cheer our spirits by thine advent here. Disperse the gloomy clouds of night, and death's dark shadows put to flight. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel, shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, thou wisdom, the path of knowledge show, and cause us in her ways to go. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel, shall come to thee, O Israel. Desire of nations bind all peoples in one heart and mind. Bid envy, strife, and quarrel cease. Fill the whole world with heaven's peace. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel, shall come to thee, O Israel. You may be seated.
Our scripture for today is Philippians 4, 4 through 8. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things.
Thanks, Jim. If the kids want to come on down this morning. Hey, how you doing? Okay, we really got a squeeze today, huh? Okay, maybe we can just sit down across the front, and I'll sit down right here. All right. Now, today is kind of a special day. And one of the things that make it special is today we begin to get prepared for what? For Christmas! Yay! I mean, have you put up any Christmas decorations at your house? Have you? Yeah. The Christmas tree's up. Lights on your house. There's stuff in your yard. All that fun stuff. You see, what we do is we begin right after Thanksgiving. We give thanks to God for all the things that He's done. And then we prepare. We get ready for Christmas. So that's kind of what Advent means. Advent means to get ready or prepare for something that is to come and get all the things ready. Now, do you guys get together with family at Christmas? Yeah. And you know, there's a lot of things that have to happen. There's the getting of all the Christmas gifts. There's the cooking of the turkey, and there's the baking of pies. You know, yesterday I got ready to watch Ohio State play, and do you know what? I was at a friend's house, and they were baking pies for Christmas already. They said you could freeze them, and they would taste wonderful. I hope they invite me over. But you see, all these things come together so that we can celebrate Christmas. And we as individuals, we need to prepare our hearts for Christmas as well. We need to get ready to celebrate because we want to be able to really celebrate that Jesus came. One of the ways we do that is on Christmas, we get gifts. Do you like gifts at Christmas? I love opening presents. It's so awesome. I can't wait. Okay, but we got to be patient. You see, we prepare for what's coming so we can truly celebrate. And we show one another how much we love each other by giving each other gifts on Christmas morning. But we have to prepare and get everything ready so we can celebrate Christmas full blast, and really enjoy all that God has done for us. So let's bow our heads and pray together. Heavenly Father, it's awesome. We know that Christmas is coming, and we're so excited for it to get here, but Lord, we don't want to miss all the good stuff along the way. So Lord, help us to be mindful of the people that we love, and be willing to share with them the fact that we love them and care for them. And sometimes that's brothers and sisters, and that's always hard. Sometimes it's moms and dads, and sometimes that can be hard, and grandmas, grandpas, even weird uncles and aunts. All that stuff comes in. And Lord, just help us to truly be thankful for what you've done and your love for us, that we might love one another. Be with us, Lord. Amen. Now you guys go ahead and go, and then I'll get up.
I'm satisfied with just a cottage below. a little silver and a little gold, but in that city where the ransom will shine, I want a gold one, that silver line. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop in that bright land where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder we will never more wander, but walk the streets at our purest gold. Though often tempted, tormented and tested, and like a prophet, my pillow of stone. Though I find here no permanent dwelling, I wanna but walk the streets at our purest gold. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop in that bright land where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder we will never more wander, but walk the streets at our purest gold. I don't think before deserted or lonely, I'm not discouraged, I'm heaven bound. I'm just a pilgrim in search of a city. I want a mansion, a harp and a crown. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop in that bright land where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder we will never more wander, but walk the streets at our purest gold. But walk the streets at our purest gold.
I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from a wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk, dear Lord, close to Thee. Through this world of toils and snares, if I falter, Lord, who cares? Who with me my burden shares? None but Thee, dear Lord, none but Thee. Just a closer walk with Thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to Thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. When my feeble life is o'er, time for me will be no more. On that bright eternal shore, I will walk, dear Lord, close to Thee. just a closer walk with thee. Grant it, Jesus, if you please. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be.
Thanks, John. I'm going to move this over so I don't trip over it. Ugly Christmas sweaters are a wonderful thing, aren't they? I mean, isn't it neat that we actually celebrate this? Or how many designers and how many knitters would be out of work if we just gave up and didn't do anything with ugly Christmas sweaters? I mean, they have a place. And it's one of those things we should celebrate them. I mean, just let it go. Just wear that sweater that, you know, your weird uncle gave you. You know, he probably really tried to find something that you would want to wear, but this is what you got. Celebrate when you send your kids out to buy something for dad, and this is what they come home with. Celebrate that. Allow that to be part of the celebration. You know, there's something about ugly Christmas sweaters, because in that whole knowledge and willingness to wear something like that, you have to be self-assured. Like, I actually go out into public with this sweater on. My son Luke gave me this, and I will wear it with pride. I really wish he would have put on the back, you know, this was bought by his son or something, you know, it would have been perfect. But, you know, we have that, and it's become part of our culture, and we begin to have Christmas parties where it's the ugly sweater Christmas party, and everybody tries to outdo everybody else, and little jingly things and the lights that flash off and on, and you've got all of that, and wonderful little sayings that are put on there that you really don't know what they mean. But all of that stuff kind of comes in and becomes part of that. And this past week, I was at Walmart. Please don't hang out too much at Walmart. But I happened to be there, and I'm watching people check out. You know, have those benches along there in front of Annie M's and Subway and all of that. And I just sat down for a minute, and I'm watching people. We must be the most miserable nation on earth. I mean, person after person, I mean, it was like they were trying to start a fight with the cashier. I feel bad for, if we have any cashiers here this morning, we'll pray for you. I mean, because this is really a difficult time, and it just seems like everybody's all wadded up, and they've got all of, they just went, just give me a reason to get angry, and boy, I'll let you have it with both barrels. It's like they're wandering around, and no matter what they have on the outside, on the inside, they is an ugly Christmas sweater. And so I thought, as a congregation, we really don't want that. We want to be the bright spot. We might wear an ugly Christmas sweater on the outside, but we want to be much better on the inside. So each week from now till Christmas, my sermon is going to be over a part of what might make us ugly and then how to make that beautiful once again. So this morning, we're starting with ugly thoughts. And if we're going to look at ugly thoughts, we really need to understand that to get rid of the ugly stuff in the, and go to the next slide. Yeah, when we get rid of ugly thoughts, we have to rewire our minds. And a lot of times that can get a little tricky. Now, have you put up your Christmas lights? Do you remember last year when you put the Christmas lights away, you took them down very neatly, coiled, you placed them in a container and somebody turned a rabid tiger loose in the container and just balled it all up. And you have to just slowly untangle it, because if you start going too fast, you can just pop the bulbs right out of their sockets and all kinds of bad things happen. And so kind of rewiring our mind is the same way. We've got to walk down the road and not run, but we need to pay attention to detail, because it can be a little bit tedious and daunting. And when we begin to think about what is occupying our mind, what are we dwelling on? Now, our scripture for this morning in Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7 that Jim read for us, he starts out, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice." Now, in the Bible, when they say things twice, it reminds me of when my mom was getting upset. If she asked you to do something, she wanted you to do it. If she told you twice, you better get it done. And I think the Bible is kind of telling us that here's something that's really, really important. So he's telling us twice to rejoice. Now, I struggle sometimes with that. I was sitting there at Walmart watching people come out spewing venom. I mean, it was looked like Spider-Man when that black thing came down and just totally encompassed him. It's like they were changing, and the closer they got to the checkout, the uglier and the more black they became. I wanted to go attack. I said, "Leave the cashier alone. They don't own Walmart. They just hit the buttons. Go to the complaint department. I mean, you just want to go in and save them." Well, sometimes in our minds, we need to kind of guard. We need to say, you know what? It's important that we rejoice. So there I am, thinking about my sermon this morning and thinking about all the ugly that I'm witnessing there in Walmart. And I thought, I need to kind of change my attitude on that, my thinking on that, or I'm going to end up doing something dumb. And so what do I do? And I thought, rejoice in the Lord always. I said, okay, so let's try this. So I thought, well, it's Christmas, and it was after Christmas, so it's okay to sing Christmas carols now, even though the radio's been playing them, but it's okay in Arnie Kaufman's world. So I started humming Jingle Bells. I thought, well, it's a good place to start, kind of a neutral song. And humming Jingle Bells, Jingle Bells, Jingle Bells. You know, and kind of going along and then you kind of get into it a little bit, and the humming was, instead of being barely noticeable, I was just humming along. And it was amazing. There was this little kid that was walking by, and I'm humming. Started singing. It was the ghost. Now, we didn't have a breakout, and all of a sudden there was, you know, in chorus and six-part harmony in Walmart. But I did notice, the kid noticed and started humming along. You know, and I began to think, you know, maybe there is something to this, that we as people really, we have so much to rejoice over. We really do. Now, I know some folks are going through some pretty tough times. And I know this has been a tough couple of years, and we've lost people that we love intensely and immensely. And I know sometimes because of the economy, things just aren't where we really would want them to be. There's a lot of things to get us down. You begin to hum, and I don't know, I not necessarily bounce, I keep beat with my feet, and we begin to say, you know what? Maybe I can make a difference. Maybe one person with the right attitude can make an impact on even Walmart customers. Are we willing to rewire our mind, and instead of jumping in and jumping on the bandwagon with all the things that are going wrong, are we willing to focus on the things that are going right? And to remind ourselves that God loves us intensely and that never changes. That Jesus came to earth as a baby to live his life so that we might know the forgiveness of sin when he offered that life on the cross. I mean, yeah, it may not make the economy bounce. It may not make gas prices go down. But it really makes a difference for ourselves. And I truly believe that affects the world around us. But if we're really going to, quote unquote, rewire our mind, if we're going to continue getting rid of those ugly thoughts, we kind of need to develop a one-track mind. We've got to find a way to kind of stay on that road of rejoicing on an ongoing basis, to be willing to think differently. I just want to read a couple of verses from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. It says, "In the same region there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared and stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today, in the city of Bethlehem, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord.'" You know, the most true, the most noble, the most right, the most pure, the most lovely, the most admirable, the most excellent, the most praiseworthy news is brought to lowly shepherds in a field at night. It's what they called good news. And we understand that good news to be the gospel. That regardless of what's going on in the world, that here is something that is good that we can stand upon. Here is something that is good, and it's always good. It never changes. We can focus our mind on that, and it can impact all the things that we do, not only at Christmas, but all through the year. You know, I was there in Walmart, and I'm watching all of these people just... It was so sad. It was just sad. Once in a while, you would see somebody, they would just kind of go through and all of this kind of stuff. And so I went and I had $5 in my pocket. And I got in line. And I know whatever line I get in at Walmart, it will be the slowest. It's just a gift that I have. And so I went and I got in. And a lady, I don't even know what her name was, and she had two little kids. And I'm standing in line, and I just asked her, I said, I know when little kids get in line, they just desire something, and they can't stop themselves. I said, I have $5 in my pocket. Can I buy your two kids something off of one of these racks that would make their moment and make your stay in this line a little better? And she said, "Really?" And I said, "Yeah, but here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you the $5. You buy it for your kids. That way, I'm not even in the picture. I just, Merry Christmas." And she looked at me, she said, "Merry Christmas?" But I let her have the $5. And when it was my turn at the cashier, I said, "Ma'am, I waited in line for two reasons. One, to bless the person behind me in line, and to say to you, here's 10 seconds where nobody's complaining. To kind of rejuvenate." And then I walked on, and the person behind me bought something for their kids. I don't even know what it was. But it was just... Are we willing to focus on the gospel enough? Or are we willing to give, even in a difficult environment, to share with the world that we're different? That things are not what they seem. All we can see is all these people going through Walmart, all depressed. I don't want to have a depressing Christmas. I want my thoughts to be up. I want my thoughts to be rejoicing. Because if you look right after that, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say rejoice. And then right after that, it tells us if we're willing to rejoice, that God will come and be part of who we are. It's right there. We make our request known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard our hearts and minds. If we're willing to rejoice, if we're willing to get on that one track that I am God's child and I'm going to live that way, then God promises peace. Who couldn't use a little peace? I could have used some yesterday during the Ohio State game. I really could have used a little peace. It just did not come. I could have used that. I could have used that in my day-to-day struggles with life. I like peace. I want that. So I have to be willing to rejoice and allow God to change from the inside out so that this ugly sweater doesn't get inside my heart. The third part of that is to realize that if we're going to get rid of ugly thoughts, we must realize that joy does not precede gratitude, but gratitude precedes joy. Sometimes we think that once we get all the things we want, we'll be able to be joyful. Have you been around rich people? Whew. Some of them are the worst at Walmart. It's not about what you have. It's about whose you are. Are you willing to acknowledge you're a child of God? Are we willing to say, you know what, God has made a difference? I've always laughed. Why is it it seems to be in the world the poorer you are, the happier you are? I mean, they don't have much, but it seems like those of us that do have much, we fuss and we fume and we run in circles and we get jealous because our brother or our sister got, you know, $7.23 more from mom and dad for Christmas than I did. And yes, I know families where they actually keep track of that stuff. Craziness. Craziness. But what I found is that when we're willing to have gratitude as part of who we are, then we don't have to track that stuff. Do you know how much energy it takes to memorize and know the cost of everything that everybody got for Christmas? Really? Do you know how much energy it takes to keep gratitude inside when we don't allow gratitude to be part of who we are? It's a joy sucker. I mean, it'll just suck your life dry. It'll just take your whole purpose and reason for being here and just take it away. But when we're willing to have gratitude, to be grateful for what we have and what God has done, it then frees us up to be the people that He's created us to be. It frees us up to be able to share with one another. It frees us up that we don't have to be nickels and dimes and quarters. And it frees us up to just be who God has created us to be. There were times in my life when I didn't have much. And more than once, I've rummaged through my car and picked up the floor mats praying for quarters. And I've been there. And in those difficult times, you know, to be able to find enough to give somebody that you love a small token of your appreciation, homemade gifts, things that took thought and energy to pull together, to take the woman who was to someday be your wife out on a date and know that you only had $3.17 in your pocket, and to be able to say you're special to me meant so much. So many times we think we have to throw money at things. But we need to be willing to just have gratitude for what God has done for us and allow that to shine through. And when we do, it is amazing the amount of joy that begins to flow out from us that we didn't even know was there. I got such a kick out of buying two little Rugrats who were just having a grand old time at Walmart, much to their mother's dismay. But to get them a little something, and maybe that mom got a little break. Isn't it? It just gives me such great joy to think, wow, maybe somebody had a good day today, got a break from Walmart and all of the ugly that was going on there. An opportunity to truly celebrate. Are we going to have that gratitude that will allow our joy to flow freely? I want my mind to change. I want to be focused in on the gospel and the true reason for the season, that my heart might be full of gratitude and joy might be seen. I want to be an ugly sweater on the outside, but not the inside. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you continue to do for us, with us, and through us. And Lord, we just ask that you would help us to get our minds in the right spot and that our thoughts would be brought under control. And Lord, the things that get us down, the ugliness of the world, that we can push that to the side and focus on you. Not that we don't live in the world, because we do live there and we see that, but there's a difference between seeing it and focusing on it. We want to focus on you, that gratitude might well up into joy that springs forth. That the things that we do and the choices that we make might be reflective of you. Come and be with us this year as we prepare for your coming on Christmas morning. Watch over us. And all these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
I invite you to stand and join me in our closing hymn, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty.
Sky and sea.
merciful and mighty God in three persons, blessed Trinity.
As we go from this place, may God's hand continue to be upon us, to guide us, to direct us, to build us up, that we truly might reflect His love in us, that the world would only see ugly sweaters and not ugly hearts. Amen.